You know what was on the jukebox in the front. Now Matt the Cat's gonna show you what was on the juke in the back.
Cats and crazy kittens, I'm Matt the Cat, welcoming you to The Juke in the Back, the only show to feature that 50s underground sound, the soul that came before rock and roll, the R&B records that led up to the rock and roll explosion of the mid-1950s. And this week I have a very special show. We're going to take a look at some of Motown Records' biggest artists before they were on Motown and before they were household names. We're going to hear early incarnations of the Miracles, the Four Tops, the Temptations, Martha and the Vandellas, the Supremes, and even early records from the songwriting team of Holland Dozier Holland. That's all coming up during the next hour here on The Juke in the Back. Now, so much has been said and so much has been written about Motown Records. It was really the first black-owned label to bring black music to the mainstream in a big hit-oriented way. I mean, all the hit records in the mid-1960s, with a few exceptions, were either coming out of England or out of Detroit. And that was really saying something. But where did it all start? Well, Berry Gordy Jr., the founder of Motown Records, began his career as a songwriter. He started writing songs for and with Jackie Wilson. He wrote Reek Petit and Lonely Teardrops, just to name a few. Then he started working with William Smokey Robinson, Marv Johnson, and Barrett Strong. At the very beginning of 1959, Berry Gordy Jr. started his first label, Tamla Records, and the rest is history. Many artists, like Stevie Wonder, got their start on Motown Records. But most of Motown's big acts started somewhere else. And we're going to kick off this week's Juke in the Back with the earliest version of Gladys Knight and the Pips. In the late 60s and early 70s, Gladys Knight and the Pips would have huge hits like I Heard It Through the Grapevine, Neither One of Us, Friendship Train, The Nitty Gritty on Motown's Soul subsidiary. But back in 1958, they were known as the Pips. And they recorded this one-off single for the Brunswick label. Here are the Pips, long before Motown, singing Whistle My Love on the Juke in the Back.
There's nothing in the world that I wouldn't do for you.
Whistle my love.
a beat for you. In every toast of a wine, there's a toast for you.
The Pips, with their first big hit from 1961, it was written by the legendary Johnny Otis. That one first appeared on the Huntem label and then on VJ, where it went on to hit number one on the R&B charts and a whopping number six on the pop charts. Before that, Whistle My Love, the Pips' first record, on Brunswick, 1958. This week on The Juke in the Back, I'm featuring great Motown groups before there ever was a Motown. And the history of this next group can date back all the way to 1953. These guys grew up in Detroit together and met in high school. They first called themselves the Four Ames, but after signing to Chess Records in 1956, they changed their name to the Four Tops. They would be one of Motown's biggest groups during the 1960s. But let's hear some of their early recordings on Chess. Here's Could It Be You, the Four Tops, here on The Juke in the Back.
Trying my best to find some little girl who will share this love of mine. Could it be you, Mary Lou? Could it be you, Susan May? Could it be you, Lucille? Could it be you, Maybelline? Could it be you, honey child, who will share this love of mine?
Do-be-do-be-do.
She must be willing and able to love me right in the middle of the day and all time. She must love me long, love me strong, until my heart beats the tune like a bell ding dong. Could it be you who will share this love of mine? Every minute of the hour, and every hour of the day, and every day of the week, and every week of the month, and every month of the year. And baby, look here, I need your love. Year after year.
Could it be you, Dolores? Could it be you? Could it be you, Gloria? Could it be you? Could it be you, Chiquita? Could it be you? Could it be you, Colina? Could it be you?
You are the child who shares love of mine.
Do.
Tops from 1956, featuring the vocals of the late great Levi Stubbs. That was Woke Up This Morning, a song that remained in the Chess vaults until just a couple of years ago. And before that, Could It Be You, a real catchy number from 56, a hit that should have been but wasn't. And like the Four Tops, this next group, The Miracles, would be one of Motown's biggest groups. Berry Gordy was first taken by Miracles leader Smokey Robinson's writing ability, but he proved to be a fantastic singer as well. Gordy got the group signed to New York's End Records, where they recorded an answer record to the Silhouettes' number one hit, Get a Job. The Miracles version is called Got a Job, and it was released in 1958. We're gonna follow that one up with a second End Records release in 58 called Money. These are the earliest Miracles records before Motown, on this week's Juke in the Back.
Walked all day till my feet were tired. I was low, I just couldn't get hired. Saw a sign in a grocery store. Help is light, and we need some more.
I got a job.
Sha-da-da, sha-da-da.
I got a job.
Never, never quit my brand new job.
Working all day and I'm working all night. And working all day and night.
never, never quit my brand new job.
Working all day and working all night.
To buy the groceries, and I need some money to pay the milkman.
Pennies,
nickels,
dimes,
quarters, money.
You're driving me crazy.
Do 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 boom 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 do do boom 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 do do boom
boom. Honey, all you think about is money. Oh, baby, you're driving me crazy.
I need some money.
You wanna holler? If I say no, you start to holler. You mistreat me, but just the same each time you greet me. Both night and day, you always say
I need some money.
I have to buy the groceries, pay the paper boy, milkman too.
What you're saying is true, baby. Oh, but still, you don't know how it makes me feel. You're both night and day, you always say
I need some money.
I have to buy the groceries, pay the paper boy, milkman too. You don't seem to
what you're saying is a true baby. Oh, but still, you don't know how it makes me feel. You're both night and day, you always say
I need some money.
Money.
You're both night and day, you always say
I need some money.
Money. You're both night and day, you always say
I need some money.
Generous support for Juke in the Back provided by weekly sustainers Janice Stenhouse, Robert Stallworth, Barry from San Diego, Mr. Lee, David Ayers, Thomas Huber, Joe Metzger, Bernie Rossman, and contributors Barry from Riverside, Richard Combs, George Waldale, Dick Bowne, Pamela Isabel. Thank you for your support. More information at jukeintheback.org.
Hoy, 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 to Juke in the Back. And with the Matt the Cat. Do, 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 do.
I'm not afraid to die.
Primettes with Tears of Sorrow from 1960. They were managed by Milton Jenkins, the same guy that managed Paul Williams and Eddie Kendricks, then known as the Primes, but would soon rename themselves the Temptations. The Primettes included Florence Ballard, Mary Wilson, Diana Ross, and Betty McGlown. Betty would leave the group, and the other three would soon be known as the Supremes. At the time, they lived really close to Smokey Robinson and asked if Smokey could get them an audition with Berry Gordy at Motown Records. Smokey did, and Gordy passed on the group, saying that they were just too young and that they should finish high school and come back to him. Not wanting to wait around, they cut their first single, which you just heard, Tears of Sorrow, for the Lupine label, a label that was created just for them. That record didn't do anything, but it would soon lead to a Motown contract, and the Supremes were born. This week I'm featuring the records that were made by some of Motown's great recording artists before there even was a Motown Records. Next, we move into Martha and the Vandellas. Martha Reeves, Gloria Williams, Rosalind Ashford, and Annette Beard began their career as the Delphys. They played sock hops and talent shows all around Detroit for about 4 years before landing a recording contract with Checkmate Records, a subsidiary of Chess Records. In 1961, they cut this record, I'll Let You Know, but it didn't go anywhere. But in 62, everything came together. Martha Reeves took a job as a secretary for Motown, and the group, formerly the Delphys, now known as the Vels, were recruited to sing background vocals on Marvin Gaye's second record. Then one day, Mary Wells missed a session, and that gave Martha the chance to record a demo at Motown. But before all that, there was this record. Here's I'll Let You Know, the Delphys, here on the Juke in the Back.
You know, I'll let you know.
Eddie Holland, who would soon be part of the great songwriting trio with his brother Brian Holland and Lamont Dozier, known as Holland Dozier Holland. But back in 1958, he was a struggling singer. He cut that tune, You, for Mercury. And as a singer, he would have a few hits in the early Motown days, like Jamie and Leaving Here. But Eddie Holland would be known more as a songwriter than anything else at Motown. This next group, the Romeos, featured a young Lamont Dozier of Holland Dozier Holland. This record was released on the Fox label in 57 and on Atco Records in 58. Here are the Romeos with Lamont Dozier singing Moments to Remember You By. It's Motown before Motown, here on the Juke in the Back.
Oh, It makes chills run through me, from my head to my feet. You got that tender touch when you hold my hand. I just feel so much. You give me shock, 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 baby. When you call my name, you give me shock. Driving me insane. You make my pulse beat fast, my heart beats slow. You give me shock, pretty baby, don't you know?
Now that's a hard record to find. Brian Holland of the songwriting team Holland Dozier Holland, going under the name Bryant Holland. That record, Shock, was released on the Kudo label in 58. So there we heard each member of the great Motown songwriting trio Holland Dozier Holland, each singing separately. None of those songs were hits, but together as a songwriting team, they would strike gold in the 1960s on Motown. Let's go back to 1957 and hear two sides of a great single from a group called the Future Tones. The Future Tones included a young man named Edwin Hatcher. He would change his name to Edwin Starr and score minor hits in the 1960s like Agent 00 Soul for the Rick-Tick label before Rick-Tick was absorbed by Motown Records. Edwin's biggest hit would come in late 1969 with the anti-Vietnam anthem War. But here he is at his earliest in 1957 singing doo-wop with the Future Tones. We'll hear Roll On and then follow it up with I Know. It's Motown before Motown, here on the Juke in the Back with Matt the Cat.
Oh baby, roll on.
Now it's time for the Great 78, where we take a thick piece of shellac and harken back to a time when 78 RPM records were king. This week we're going to focus on an early record by a group that would later become part of the Temptations. You see, the Temptations were the joining of two groups, the Primes and the Distance. The Primes consisted of Eddie Kendricks and Paul Williams, while the Distance featured Otis Williams and Melvin Franklin. The group recorded for Detroit-based Northern Records, which was run by Johnny May Matthews. In late 1959, they recorded the song Come On, which Northern Records put out in early 1960. It got some airplay around Detroit, and it was picked up for national distribution by Warwick Records. Because it was a local hit, it got the attention of both Berry Gordy Jr., and The Primes. Soon The Distance and The Primes became The Temptations. Here's Come On by The Distance, this week's Great 78.
Of rock and roll. You couldn't hear them on the jukebox in the front. But Matt the Cat's playing them on the juke in the bag.
Yeah.
The Future Tones, featuring a young Edwin Hatcher, who would soon be Edwin Starr and one of Motown's top artists in the late 60s and early 70s. That was him in 1957. Both sides of a pretty decent single that was released on the Tress label. Now let's move up to 1959. Marvin Gaye was born in Washington, D.C., and started his singing career with a group called the Marquees. I bumped into Reese Palmer, another member of the Marquees, a few years ago, and I asked him how the group got started with Marvin Gaye.
I put together the group in 57, and I waited until Marvin got out of the service.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked Marvin and one of the original Rainbows and another guy that he was a substitute singer for the Rainbows. Guy's name was Chester Simmons. And we put together the group. And in the meantime, the bass of the group was working for Bo Diddley. He was Bo Diddley's valet. And he said, Bo Diddley can get us a record out on one of Columbia's subsidiaries. And I said, oh, yeah. He said, yeah. He said, man, he said, you know, try to write something. So at that time, my favorite TV show was Wide Earth.
Okay.
So I wrote Wide Earth, and I wrote Hey Little Schoolgirl. And originally, I tried to get Marvin to lead Hey Little Schoolgirl, but I couldn't get him to do it. So I ended up leading both songs. And that's how we got started.
Marquees from 1958, featuring Reese Palmer on lead vocal and Marvin Gaye singing background vocals. Now, OK Records didn't like that original version of the tune, which featured Billy Stewart playing piano and Bo Diddley on guitar. So the Marquees were called back to New York, where they cut a new version of Wyatt Earp, and that was the one that was released on OK. Here's the second version of Wyatt Earp on the Juke in the Back.
The king of the West, a better shot than all the rest.
it to earth. Wyatt Earp, he had a friend, stuck with him through thick and thin. He was a gambler from the heart, always around when trouble starts. You know who I mean. Holiday. In a barrel, that was the end of our morale. We fought against White Earth.
In early 1959, at the Howard Theater in Washington, D.C., Harvey Fuqua abruptly fired the Moonglows. He then turned to the Marquees of Washington, D.C. to be the new Moonglows. Reese Palmer remembers how that happened.
Okay, Chester, the guy who was the valet, our bass, for Bo Diddley, up in Canada, they were up in Canada together on a show. And Harvey was talking to Bo and Chester that he was trying to put together another set of Moonglows.
Why?
I heard that he was having drug problems, and the group, Harvey, wasn't treating them fair with the money. Bobby Lester was on drugs, and he was trying to leave the group, and the group was threatening him that they would turn around and walk away.
Because he wasn't paying them fair.
Right.
Okay.
Chester called, it's a lady in D.C. called Peasy Adams. She always has the Marvin Gaye thing every year down at Freedom Plaza. She said that Bo Diddley called her and told her to get the guys together and go up to the Howard Theater and ask for Harvey. When that happened, I called Bo Diddley. I said, what are we calling Harvey for? And he was saying that Harvey said, there's a possibility you guys might have a chance to be the new Moonglows. And I said, yeah, right. And when Harvey came, when they came down, because they opened up at the Howard Theater right after the New Year's Eve show at the end of 1958. So he had us, audition for him. He liked the sound because when we were the Marquees, we were singing a lot of Moonglow songs anyway.
So you were used to it.
Yeah, so yeah. He liked what he heard. And all week long, we rehearsed as the Moonglows during 12 months of the year.
Yep.
When he got through rehearsing us that week, they were leaving town. He said, I'm going to send my driver back for you. I said, okay. So a month went by. We didn't hear from Harvey. And I said, here's another promise that ain't going to be kept.
Mm-hmm.
So one day we were outside throwing snowballs, and we saw Harvey's driver come up, and he said, y'all get your stuff together. We're getting ready to go. I said, dang, man. I said, we don't get to say goodbye to our family or anything. He said, come on, man. He said, we're getting ready to go. So everybody ran and gathered their clothes together. So we left and went to Chicago. When we got to Chicago, we went in the studio
mm-hmm.
and recorded 12 months of the year, Mama Lucci.
My Mama Lucci, she's a brand new coochie. Wop, ding dong, baby. Now I don't need a maybe, my. Oh yeah,
my Mama Lucci.
Mama Lucci, sing.
Wow.
I love my lover too. I like your style. I said, Mama, my, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mama, 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 mama.
She said, baby, how about that? I said, Mama, my, yeah, yeah. Married, we settled down and raised a family.
That marks the first time that Marvin Gaye ever sang lead on a record. Before that, he sang the recitations on the beginning and the end of the Moonglow song 12 Months of the Year. Though it got some regional airplay, it unfortunately never made the national chart. I'd like to dedicate this week's Juke in the Back to Reese Palmer, who enlightened us with the early days of Marvin Gaye. He passed away on October 26th. 2011, and also to Lamont Dozier, part of the songwriting team of Holland Dozier Holland. He passed away on August 8th, 2022. I'm Matt the Cat, and I hope you've enjoyed this week's look at the great Motown groups before there even was a Motown Records. Remember, cats and kittens, soul, it's a feeling. And you get that feeling each week when you tune into your source for 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues. I'll catch you on the flip side next time on the Juke in the Back. Goodbye, everybody.
Well, we've run out of whiskey and the women have all gone home. Thanks for dropping by. Feel free to let Matt the Cat know if you dug the show. Email him at mattthecat@mattthecat.com. Juke in the Back is recorded at Rosie's Juke Joint, located at the Stepping Stone Inn in Salem, Massachusetts. For more information, please visit jukeintheback.org. I'm Miss Rosie. See you next time on the Juke in the Back.